Let us now turn to read God's Word. And our reading this evening is from the New Testament and from the Gospel of Mark and chapter 4. Mark's Gospel and chapter 4. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him great multitudes, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up, and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise who are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen, and may God add his blessing, give to us understanding in that reading then of his own holy and inspired word. We continue worshipping, singing this time from a portion of Psalm 4. Psalm 4. And we're singing from verse 4. Fear and sin not. Talk with your heart on bed and silent be. Offerings present of righteousness, and in the Lord trust ye. Oh, who will show us any good? Is that which many say? But off thy countenance the light, Lord, lift upon us alway. Upon my heart bestowed by thee, more gladness I have found than they, even then when corn and wine didst most with them abound. I will both lay me down in peace, and quiet sleep will take, because thou only me to dwell in safety, Lord, dost make. Psalm 4, from 4, verse 4 to verse 8, fear and sin not. Would you come back with me to the reading we had there from Mark's Gospel in chapter 4? And at towards the end of the chapter, I want us to think of the question that is put in verse 38. And Jesus was in the hinder or the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Does God care when his people are in traumatic, dangerous, extreme circumstances? Does God care? This morning we were talking about and speaking about the coming of the Lord, and the way in which when the Lord returns there will indeed be a separation amongst all peoples. And that separation will be based upon a very, very simple but searching spiritual question. A question that confronts some and challenges others. What say ye about Jesus? A simple question. But there are times, sometimes when we come underneath the preaching, we find perhaps the sermon is too difficult or too complex for us to understand and to follow. We think it might be for someone else, but not for me at this time. And so we try many different ways to be comfortable as God speaks through a sermon. But when we get to simple, searching questions like that one posed this morning, then any kind of protection we've got in place simply is dismantled. God, with that simple question, gets right behind every defense that you and I can put in place. He gets behind every barrier or obstacle we might deploy. And he speaks plainly and simply to us. A simple question. Well, here in this verse 38, we have another simple question. But this is a question that comes from men and is addressed to the Lord. It arises out of the danger that they were in, and they were indeed facing death where they were out on that Sea of Galilee. And the question was another simple one. Does God care? A question that can arise many a time in the life and in the heart out of the experience of God's people. For a whole range of different reasons, out of so many different sources. When we are awakened to see ourselves spiritually, we're concerned about our soul, we're concerned about eternity, we're concerned about being right with God. When the things of eternity and the things of God's character intrude into our thinking and get into our living, and we're looking for peace and we're looking for rest and we're looking for pardon, we're aware of a spiritual battle taking place over spiritual things. And sometimes we turn to God, and out of our frustration perhaps we say, doesn't God care if I perish or not? Does God care? These people before us in this text tonight were on a journey. They set out at the command and the behest of the Lord. It was the Lord who said, let's cross to the other side. And in the midst of that danger, we come to this question. A sudden storm descends upon them. A storm which can echo and reflect some of the storms that come upon ourselves. Just think of these disciples as an illustration of you and I. They were engaged in fishing. We can be engaged in work. There are times when we can be tired. We've had days when things haven't worked out for us, and the work and the demands are hard. Our bodies are tired, our minds are numb, and our heads go down. And perhaps in that kind of situation, just like them, so with us, storms descend. They come perhaps every now and again, a short and intense blast that threatens us, rocks us, the way in which we can be under persecution or life can be difficult for so many different reasons. Storms do come. Trials do visit us. And so often we can take, although it's difficult to make this assessment when we're going through them. Remember what James was telling us this morning about the very trials that his people were going through, and he was the pastor dealing with them and trying to persuade them and to encourage them and to bring home spiritual truths to them. Storms can be indeed for a refining, to test and to show the metal that we are made of. Just our lives can be like a little boat that's battered. The sails can be torn and the water coming aboard. But the one thing that we take, even although that might be our experience from time to time, the one comfort that we've got here is that wherever the Lord is aboard, wherever the Lord is the Lord of this life or that soul or this person, then the assurance that we have is no matter what storms might come upon us, such a one will never, ever be lost. The storm then came upon these fishermen. The Lord was aboard, but he was asleep at the back. The storm broke upon them suddenly and the alarm went up. And they were afraid, and it's no surprise that they were afraid. There was a cry that came from them. This cry in our text, carest thou not that we perish? Arising out of fearful circumstances in which they were found. And there's a focus, and there's an intensity, and there's a passion in this cry, this prayer, if you like, to put it that way, that we have here before us tonight. Nothing, but nothing gets in the way or distracts them in this cry out to the Lord. Their very life depends upon it. And of course, the Lord rose and stilled the storm, scattered their doubt, and there was peace restored amongst them. But there was also that awe and worship. We're told in verse 41, they feared exceedingly. What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? There was an awe and a wonder. There was that respect and regard to the Lord. There was that worship directed to him. And yes, there are times when we can fit into that very same set of circumstances ourselves. Yes, we sometimes feel swamped. Yes, there are times when our lives can be like that boat, battered, moved this way, that way. Yes, there can be times when the waves and the wind seem to be on the verge of overwhelming us. But even in these circumstances, extreme as they might be, we can hold on to the promise the Lord has given. We do not have him present with us as these disciples, but we do have the promise that he's given to his people, that nobody, but nobody, is able to pluck anyone out of the hand of the Lord. And we can go back to that promise in John 10:28, and we can claim it for ourselves in such circumstances. Or again, when you think of the list of circumstances that Paul gives us towards the end of Romans 8, life or death, principalities of power, the great pressures, the great circumstances and events that can bear down upon the Christian. And again, the conclusion that he comes to is nothing but nothing is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. So yes, we do have and we do can have storms bearing down upon us. Extreme, intense, life-threatening. But there is always this assurance that the Lord will keep safe those that are his own. And even when we do feel right in the midst of that storm, this question rising up within us, Lord, do you care? And the Lord answered it here for these people as he rebuked the wind and spoke to the sea. So therefore tonight, I want us to think of these simple experiences these men went through. First of all, we see here that they were indeed in a fearful storm. A storm which arose because of the geography of the place where they were. The Sea of Galilee is 680 feet below sea level. And there's several valleys that come down and, as it were, flow into the Sea of Galilee. And in the cool of the evening, as the sun goes, the night comes in, then there is a very gentle but a very growing stream of cool air that comes down these valleys. And it acts like a waterfall coming down into the Sea of Galilee. And as it comes down, there's the heat of the day in the water, which isn't lost as quickly as the heat in the hill. And so there's still a blanket of warm air over the sea. And where that cold air meets that warm air, then there's a very intense and a very violent squall. The fearful storm that can arise suddenly as they arose for these men. It would have been calm all day. They could have been about doing their work of fishing in the sea with not a slight indication of anything that was about to come. Even into the later parts of the day and early evening. But then in a moment, all was changed around them. in a moment they're pitched into a fearful swell. And there was no indication of this approach on the distant horizon suddenly coming upon them. Not only suddenly coming upon them, but very threatening of them. This wasn't a very slight thing. This wasn't just simply a little wave or an increase in the ripple of the water round about them. No, the word that is used in the original is actually a whirlwind. There was something intense, very intense, coming upon them. Strong gusts and strong squalls were falling upon them to such an extent that their very survival was under question. We're told that, verse 37, that the water was even coming into the boat itself. They were threatened to that extent. They were facing their end. That's what it says. And that's what they spoke of. And they were scared stiff and frightened. For a moment, just for a moment, they forgot everything. The past care which the Lord had shown towards them. The words that he had spoken and shared and given to them. For a moment, they had forgotten about the others who had been helped by him when they were in extreme circumstances. For a moment, all of that was out of their minds, and all they could see and all that they could fix their thoughts upon was the present danger that they were in. And they were frightened and scared of it. None of us is perfect. And even at our very best, even underneath his teaching and even in the company of the Lord, that's where they were. And they had doubts and lacking in faith. If they had it, when we go through similar circumstances they were in, we too can be like them. Peter, James, John. They were the ones that were the companions of the Lord. And for these moments, they had forgotten things the Lord had said and done. And all that they could do was focus upon the threat that was imminent and filling their boat. And they asked the question, Master, do you care if we perish? A fearful storm. Our life, we can take it and apply it to ourselves. Our life is indeed a journey. Storms come suddenly, threatening, anxiety, illness, disease. They can come in so many different colours upon us. Unemployment. Providences of God and his leanings with us. Coming through examination times just now with results yet to come. So many different threats and storms that can come upon our lives. And the Lord can use these and many, many other different ways and means to awaken us, to draw us back to himself. Storms that come upon us at the very beginning of our Christian life, they don't go away when we set out on that Christian path. But they keep company with us every now and again along the way. They are repeated for us. And as they are repeated to us, and as we learn from them, but learning from them can be very painful and it can be very demanding on us. Nevertheless, when we do go through these tests that come time after time into our lives, there's a deeper trust develops with us. But it is a trust that is hammered out of such frightening experiences as they went through. Suddenly, threatening, frightening. Things that came to them can come to us. So that's the first thing that we have, simply the fright. The fearful storm that came upon them. But the second thing I want us to think about is, out of that fearful storm, we have this frantic cry. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And let's remind ourselves that they were seasoned sailors and fishermen. They were used to being at sea and in boats. They had been to storms and had been through storms before. This was, after all, their workplace. They were comfortable at sea and in boats and with things concerning the water. But not just now. This, whatever it was something out of the ordinary. It baffled them. There was extreme danger there, and it was beyond their experience, beyond their knowledge, beyond their ability to address. They were here at a loss as to what to do. Who were they going to turn to? When we are in these storms that we've just thought of coming upon ourselves, who can we turn to? So often things, like we said, storms are used by the Lord to draw us and to bring us back to Himself. Things perhaps that need... The Lord puts His finger upon something in our spiritual life. Something in our life that we've allowed to creep in. Something that we've neglected. There's so many different things and aspects to the Lord's dealings with us. But sometimes that's what the Lord puts His finger upon. And He brings them to our attention. And we're in a storm. How do we respond to that storm when it comes upon us? What did they do? We hear that frantic cry coming from them. They've known in the past the Lord's help. But now they're putting it in words in this searching question. They call out to Him, "Carest thou not that we perish?" A frantic cry. A deep heartfelt cry is indeed a mighty weapon. Although it might be few words, that deep heartfelt cry can travel far and can have great effect. It might not even be words that we could recognize. The cry might just simply be a sigh. It might even be just simply tears. But that frantic cry, however it is expressed, is picked up by the Lord. You remember blind Bartimaeus? He was begging Jesus for His help. He sat by the road outside Jericho. And he cried out to the Lord, and people said, "Be quiet, be quiet, be quiet." And that only made him shout louder, more frantic in his crying out, and it hadn't its effect. It stopped him. It stopped the Lord on His way, that frantic cry from the blind man. Not only that one, but we have also the frantic cry from the convicted man. Remember the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, and the way in which the publican cried, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And the way in which that provoked and brought a response from heaven itself to that man going home more justified, more right than the man, the publican and the Pharisee in prayer. Here then we have it. The Lord was wakened. Yes, He was tired. He slept. He was like us. An encouragement perhaps to us to come to Him in prayer. But hear these men crying out to Him, "Do you care if we perish?" We can think of a mother looking after a young baby or a young child. And that mother can sleep through a lot because she's tired with caring for that child. And as the child sleeps, so she is to catch up on sleep herself. But the moment the baby cries, that wakens also the mother. And the mother is there to lavish care in response to that frantic babies cry. So it is with the Christian. A frantic cry is perhaps all that we have to place before the Lord. But it's a cry which the Lord picks up on and hears and responds to. And there may even be times that that past love and care which we've experienced from the hand of the Lord, that experience of the Christian in times past, far from smothering that cry, only makes the cry from our soul more intense. These past experiences of His care and His provision, these past experiences of His loving kindness, they're not felt now when we need them most. So our faith is shaken. And we cry out all the louder, Lord, help me. Do you not care if I perish? A frantic cry. These then were sailors, fishermen. They were able to cope with many other storms, but this one was different. They couldn't draw on any other experience. It was unique in that sense. And all that they could do was cry out to the Lord for His help. And sometimes we're in that situation when we're brought to nothing and we've got nothing else to lean on and no one else to draw on except to do what these people did and call out to the Lord likewise. Put it, yes, as a question, but behind that question there is the probing of the love, the commitment and the care which the Lord has to these very disciples. A frantic cry. And that cry wakened the Lord, and the Lord rebuked the wind. The fury and the storm was overcome. He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. The actual word that is used there is the word muzzled. It's the same word, in fact, that is used earlier on in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. But verse 25, it says about the man who was possessed. He says, Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Muzzling, restraining, rebuking. Here is the Lord exercising His authority over the elements of the wind and the wave. And He calms them and brings peace. It's interesting to go through. I think it's particularly set out in Luke's Gospel. Right at the very beginning of Luke's Gospel, we have the Lord introduced as the Lord. And there are different scenarios given to us at the beginning of Luke's Gospel where the Lord is in particular areas and domains. He is facing illness and sickness. He is facing spiritual possession. He is facing physical things like storms and such like. Different areas where the Lord is putting down a marker that He indeed is the Lord over all. He has the authority to command. And when command, they obey. Here is the Lord exercising that authority and rebuking, muzzling the wind, the rain, the wave. And here He is bringing peace. Oh yes, there is one effect we see about the storm and the wave going away. But there was a much greater problem to be addressed, and that was in the heart and in the soul of these people, His disciples. There they were questioning His love. There they were questioning His care for them. Will He let them perish, and will He forget them and pass by them? After all, you can see the contrast. Here they were terrified and grief-stricken because of the storm and the wind, and they knew what it could do, and they were throwing themselves around and trying to do this and the other to save the boat, and all the while there is the Lord asleep at the back of the boat. You can understand the contrast they would have had and how this question would have arisen in their thinking. But see the way the Lord deals with it. Why are you frightened? Why are you frightened? How is it that you have no faith? Doubts and questions arise. They blot out the comfort to them and to us for a while. As we said, we develop tunnel vision, focusing on one thing only. How is it broken? How is the tunnel vision shattered? How is the faith brought back in its exercise with these people? How is it the same as it was happening here? The Lord said to the sea. It was the word of the Lord that calmed the sea and brought peace to them. Can we not see that the same thing applies today? When we're disturbed and unsettled, when something like a storm comes upon us, where do we go and where do we get the peace that we're looking for? Is it not from the same place and the same source? The Lord's truth applied powerfully to our hearts, to our situation, to our providences. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He gives us that peace. He brings it to bear upon us. And we are called upon to exercise this faith, appropriating, claiming it, applying it, so that the peace that he has promised is our experience. And then one last thought. Notice the way in which their faith was strengthened. What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? There was indeed a vivid impression upon their minds. They had made an amazing discovery. They had made an amazing discovery in a practical way. You know, it's one thing to go through a theology book and to go through commentaries and to go through Christian experiences and biographies and to read about promises, the word, things that have happened to God's people, and the way in which the Lord addresses these fears in us. It's one thing to know that spiritual truth, but it's an altogether different thing to live through it and to get it to ourselves, to feel it, and to know it for ourselves personally, to be gripped by it, to be able to say, I've been there, I know it, it's been done to me. Yes, indeed, their faith was strengthened, and they came to realize that Jesus cared for them more than they could possibly know. When we pass through troubled waters, when we pass through difficult experiences, is it not the experience of the Christian that we find a depth to the love and the care of the Lord which is so refreshing? There is that scale of his answer. There is that riches of his inheritance. There's that magnitude of his blessings that he brings to people that just simply take our breath away and leave us just like these people were. They feared exceedingly. They were indeed awestruck by what they had just seen and been through. In the book of Jeremiah, the history of Jeremiah was that these people were going to be brought into exile. because of their hostility and their rebellion and resistance to God's word. And these people thought that when Jeremiah came and told them this was going to happen, these people thought, well, we can survive, come what may. We trusting in our own idols and our own resources, and we can fight these things and we can overcome them. But Jeremiah says, no, they're all going to be swept away. There is only going to be one only foundation and resource that you can call on. And we have these words in Jeremiah chapter 9. At verse 23 he says this, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. And that's rich in itself. But right at the very end of the verse, there's this that comes in to magnify it all. The very last phrase of the verse, for in these things I delight, says the Lord. The way in which the Lord's care for them was magnified more than they could ever possibly think of. Something that they could return to time and time again. Something that they could take comfort from and strength from in days to come after they had gone through this storm. Extreme circumstances would come upon them later on. But they could always go back and say, remember what happened. Remember what happened when we were out in the sea that night, that evening. And they could draw upon it, extreme as it were, but they could say, yes, and the Lord, look at what he did. Do you remember what happened? I was there. I can tell you. So yes, you can see in which their faith was strengthened. Like we said a while ago, it was deepening of their trust, hammered out on the experiences that they had been through. Does God care? Oh yes, he does. There are many times we might feel that we're on the edge and on the verge of going over. But no matter what the storm might be, nobody and nothing will separate us from our God. And as we gather all these experiences week after week, year in, year out, of the Lord's constant care from us and his love to us, there's a strengthening of that knowledge. There's a strengthening of our faith. Yes, the constancy of God's commitment to his people is something that gets stronger as we put it to the test. And our Christian life becomes mature, settled, stronger, bolder. We can be sometimes in circumstances like these disciples, and we can ask the question, in a moment of weakness, we can ask the question, does God care? Does not God care that we perish? But when we pose that question, the answer comes back that goes beyond our experiences and beyond our expectations. And we too, with them, are left with that awe and wonder at both the reach and the depth of the power, the love, the care and the commitment of the Lord to his own people. So the question with which we simply close is this one. Is he the Lord of your life? Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their ways of strife? When the strong tide lifts and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, we bless thy name for the feeding thou dost give to the soul of thy people, bringing us back to thy character and to thy dealings with thine own of days of old, and the way in which we can take encouragement that thou art the God who changes not, and so we can lean upon thee in these days for ourselves, and to do so knowing that thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. So encourage us and strengthen us, O Lord, we pray. And bless us all together as a congregation and a gathering of thy people. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake and his glory. Amen. We close tonight by singing from Psalm 85. Psalm 85, and we're singing from verse 8. I'll hear what God the Lord will speak. To his folk he'll speak peace, and to his saints, but let them not return to foolishness. To them that fear him, surely near is his salvation, that glory in our land may have her habitation. Truth met with mercy, righteousness and peace kissed mutually. Truth springs from earth and righteousness looks down from heaven high. Yea, what is good the Lord shall give. Our land shall yield increase. Justice to set us in his steps shall go before his face. Psalm 85 from 8 to the end. I'll hear what God the Lord will speak. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion and blessing of the Holy Spirit,